Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. Your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Leaf Sky Podcast. Here's your host, Jim Taddy.
All right. Thank you, Mike Ross, for that fine introduction. Welcome, everybody, to Leaf Sky, episode 141. Our guest today is Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM, NHL.com. Going to have a lengthy discussion about trade deadline theories for the Maple Leafs. Before we get going, bet the action on the ice with a DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now. Use the code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. The code is THPN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for complete details. Now to the hockey story. Well, I got to say, when you lose 4-1 to Boston on home ice, a tough day for momentum going into the trade deadline and Stanley Cup playoffs. But here we are. The Boston Bruins didn't allow the Leafs to score. They shut them down. I know the Leafs had opportunities to do so, but what bothered me about the game was when the Leafs did not get their reward for scoring, they seemed frustrated. That is the moment, ladies and gentlemen, that you step on the gas, not show frustration. And so we've seen this movie many times before. 4-1. Bruins win over the Maple Leafs. And what does that mean to the trade deadline? Well, we'll get into that. Here is our conversation with Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM, NHL.com. So, Dave, we have an interesting week here. We've got, I call it Nemesis Week, Boston twice, Buffalo, and then after the trade deadline, Montreal. I mean, there's a lot of ghosts there. But having said that, let's deal with the trade deadline. Labushkin added late last week and is effective with Morgan Riley, but that can't be the end of it, can it?
Well, I do think the Leafs need to add another defenseman if they want to be serious about taking a run. I'm not convinced that you need to go crazy and start throwing some of your most valuable capital overboard just for the sake of doing something. But I think we could see this defense against the Boston Bruins on Monday night, and you start to get an idea that, okay, you might be able to run for a period of time with this group, but they are vulnerable to get taken apart by good teams at times. We saw that against Boston. So I do think they need to add another defenseman. Who that would be, that's difficult. There's not a lot of real quality guys out there. You know, Noah Hanifin, I don't think is coming here. And, you know, if you're going to trade a Noah Hanifin, you're going to have to give up a lot for a rental. Yeah. That really doesn't make a lot of sense to me, unless you have the chance to re-sign him. But I don't think he wants to sign here. I think he wants to sign somewhere in the Northeast, in the United States, if not Florida. But I haven't heard people that I've talked to any inclination that Noah Hanifin would be interested in signing a long-term deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So to me, that's a non-starter. Beyond that, Sean Walker, you know, in Philadelphia. Yeah, he's a right-handed shooting defenseman, but he's not exactly a condominium out there, as one of our good friends Ray Ferraro likes to say. It's true, right? Like, there's a real benefit to having big guys on the back end to go deep into a playoff run. You look at all the teams that win, and that's a real similar trend in the composition of all of their blue lines. And Sean Walker doesn't really fit that bill. If you're missing a quality puck-moving guy, yeah, for sure, go down that road. But that's not really what the Leafs are looking for. They're looking for a big, steady, stay-at-home, sound defensive defenseman. He doesn't really fit that bill. Nick Seeler shoots left, and at best, he's a third-pair guy. So that's going to be the challenge for Brad Treliving, is that while the need exists, I don't really see a ton of guys that fit the need, and that's going to be the challenge.
Yeah, that is a challenge, and really it goes back to the summer. If you look at their possibilities in the summer, Dumba they were after, didn't get him. Klingberg they got, didn't work out. I don't know that Dumba was the answer either, and I don't know that getting a rental is the answer to the long-term solution here. Obviously, you want to get whoever you can who's available, but I think that, you know, the guy who comes in here has to be one of those big, burly, puck-moving, you know, abrasive defensemen, easy to describe, hard to find, with some term. I mean, and I don't know yeah. who that is, and I don't know what the cost is, but I don't see the point of putting another patch on the tire.
No, it doesn't make sense. I mean, a guy like Brett Pesce in Carolina, who's a pending unrestricted free agent, he would look fantastic. But again, he's not going to come cheap, certainly from a team that is looking to contend themselves this year. Now, I know Carolina is very prudent when it comes to asset management. They don't like to see guys walk out the door for nothing. And with Elliot Friedman's report last week, that Carolina was at least kicking tires on Elias Pettersson, which fits what Don Waddell told me on my show a couple of weeks ago, that they were absolutely looking to add a top six forward. You can kind of understand how if Pettersson had been available, they would have been willing to trade Brett Pesce to fill that need and make sure he doesn't walk out the door for free. So that would have made sense for them at the time. So it makes sense for them to trade Brett Pesce to Toronto. Well, not really, unless you're getting a player of Elias Pettersson's caliber back, which they're not going to get from Toronto. So yeah. I don't see Brett Pesce as an option from Carolina. Matt Dumba, like, the guy hasn't really had that great of a year, to be honest with you, in my mind, in Arizona. And you're certainly not giving up a lot for him. You could have had him, as you said, Jim, in the summertime for you know, I call it free, but for a few million bucks and no asset capital. So to give up any kind of capital for Matt Dumba would be foolish, I think, on the part of Brad Treliving. So, yeah, that's really the challenge. I mean, what you need is Luke Shen, right?
Like again.
Again, but yeah. that guy isn't out there right now, and that's why it's really going to be a challenge for Brad Treliving.
Yeah, but even if you got a Luke Shen and Lyubushkin is similar, you know, I don't see longevity there. I mean, I'm talking about somebody who has some term and actually helps the blue line going forward as well as this year.
That's an easier move to make in the summertime, though, right?
It is. Yeah, it's such a peculiar situation that they're in yet again. With the you know, let's get a defenseman or two at the deadline. It just seems to me that maybe they should have dug in a little deeper in the summer, or maybe they will this summer, because they seem to end up at the same spot. Luckily, the goaltending, which was an ongoing concern, has corrected itself. And up front, I know you need something there, but it's not as drastic as that blue line. And the Monday game against Boston is the trump card for all of that. I mean, there's example A.
Yeah, look, it's funny how there are some teams that constantly have the same problem year over year over decade, it almost seems, right? We've been talking for 10 years about the Leafs needing to find a way to really re-outfit that blue line. And yet, again, they're in the same problem as they always seem to be. So it's almost like if you refuse to address it, shockingly, it continues to come up. Like look at the New Jersey Devils. For the last year and change, we've been saying for them, got to get a goalie. Did they get one last off? No. Oh, well, maybe you'll get one earlier in the year. Didn't get one earlier in the year. Well, here we are at the trade deadline. It's season over in New Jersey. What's been the biggest issue? Can't get a stop. Shocking, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's the same thing with the Leafs on the back end. It's been a constant issue that's required attention but hasn't really been solved for any kind of a long-term with any kind of a long-term approach. And I fear, again, that could be the undoing of this team in the playoffs. Yeah, would they like to get another maybe top six winger? Sure, that would be great. But no team is perfect going to the playoffs in a salary cap era, right? Like, it just doesn't happen. Every team has some wart, if you will. So if the Leafs are able to go out, get a middle six winger, that's great, but it really, to me, is not going to make the difference if the guys who are already here right now, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, Bertuzzi, Domi, don't drive the ship. If those guys are kicking, then you know what? Whether you get a winger or not, I don't think it's really that big of an issue. Then if Bobby McMahon is able to chip in twice over a playoff run, then you're in good shape. And if Cali Yarncroke's able to chip in three times over a playoff run, then you're in good shape. You know, can Pontus Holmberg tuck one in every now and again on the fourth line? You see what I mean? If those guys at the top are cooking, it's not an issue. It really isn't an issue. And I'm fully confident that a guy like Bobby McMahon, like we saw a couple of weeks ago, will be able to elevate his game and contribute here and there. Nick Robertson, if they don't make a move, if he's still around, you insert him into the lineup if you need a boost. Maybe you get an injection from him as he's provided when he's come into the lineup this year. That's been the issue with Nick Robertson, is that when he's come out and then come back in, I think he's played really well the first game, two, three, and then he's kind of dipped and sort of fallen back into the mix, so to speak, and you haven't seen as much of an impact from him. But, you know, that's how the playoffs work. You insert a guy, you're looking for an injection that night, and he's been able to do that. So maybe they've got the pieces there. I'm not as concerned, and certainly I wouldn't be willing to pay a high price for that. The blue line is... Yeah, I was just going to say, the blue line to me is where the real problem and the undoing of this team could be. Because if it comes down to the fact that the Leafs can't score enough, which has been their problem in past years, right, Jim? You're not going to be able to look and say, well, it's because they didn't go out and get Joel Armia, for lack of a better example. It'll be because Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, Domi, Bertuzzi didn't get it done.
So a couple of things from what you just said there. First of all, the scoring... clearly in the game Monday night against Boston, there was a visible frustration when things didn't work out offensively. And quite frankly, in a playoff series, you can't wear that. That's when you step on the gas. That's when you try harder. You don't sit there and go, oh, that should have gone in. Or you have that look on your face like, well, how did that happen? Too bad. Make it happen on the next play. And I saw that in a lot of the Leafs, especially the big Leafs in the game Monday night. The other thing is, you know, we talked about that blue line, and, you know, it's no secret what a prototypical NHL blue line is. It's big guys that keep you to the outside, that have puck skill, and they don't have to fight you, but they're so big, they know how to leverage their bodies and can break things up. And so that's been there for a number of years. The Leafs' failure in this issue is the drafting. They've drafted so many defense over the years, and all they have left is Timothy Liljegren. And there are some people that tell you that maybe he should be moved. He's not quite ready to be top four after all this time. That is a failure on the organization.
Well, it is. However, you can't hang that, obviously, as you know, at the feet of Brad Treliving. I mean, that's the past regime. And look, I expressed concern at the time when Kyle Dubas was going out and drafting small, like guys under 6 feet, you know, skilled but not really physical defensemen. It's like, that's all well and good, but okay, you know, fine if a few of them hit. Well, here's the other problem. None of them have hit either.
No.
You know, like the Topi Niemelas, like all these guys, like none of them have hit. So you drafted for skill. None of them turned out to be skilled enough to force their way into the lineup. And they're not going to get in the lineup with a different facet of their game through physicality and size and defensive acumen. So that's been a huge miss on the part of Kyle Dubas's drafting strategy. And anybody who can't look that reality in the face and articulate that and try to continue to defend that strategy, like, I don't know how to help you. Sorry, let's just right. Like, let's just look at the facts. Do you see any of those guys in the lineup right now?
No, it's awful.
No, you don't. Well, what does that tell you?
Well, a lot of those guys were given long looks with the Leafs.
Yeah, you know, the Mac Holloway, like all these guys, right? And nothing. So if you think that was good, maybe that's a reason why, you know, you're cheering for a team that's not winning, because, like, holy cow. So yeah, that's a big problem. As to sort of the frustration that was seen last night, I got the sense watching that game that it was a Leafs Bruins game from like 4 years ago, where, you know what I mean? Like, you never really felt like they were in that game right from the drop of the puck, where we're past a, victimized the defense within the first 14 seconds with a filthy pass to set up Pavel Zacha for a breakaway, like literally 14 seconds into the game. Didn't score. Joel Wall made a great stop. But from that point on, I'm like, oh man, I don't have a good feeling about tonight. And I was proven to be right, because Boston really seemed to control that game almost for fun. The Leafs really had difficulty getting any kind of quality offense generated for prolonged periods of time. They got the odd chance here and there, but they were certainly never rolling around the Boston zone for any prolonged period of time with sustained pressure, like being able to work over the Bruins defense. You know, and when you see that, and like, okay, so Tavares scored late. But that was nice. Again, it was a one-off, a good shot. It was probably one that Swayman would like to stop. But then that was it. There was really no prolonged presence after that, which is run counter to a lot of what we've seen from these Leafs over the last at least 2 or 3 weeks when they went on that good run after the Riley suspension. Certainly against New York on Saturday, the Rangers. Like, that game was back and forth. It was lead changes, but there was like a constant push, right? And like it was just next shift, keep pushing, and we're going to break through. And they did. I didn't sense any frustration in that game at all, but I sensed it last night. And I don't know if that's a Boston thing with this team or what, but you just had the feeling that it was, oh, it's Boston, and they're not beating Boston, because why would they?
Okay, so I'm going to sort of sum up what you just said there, and you agree or disagree. That game on Monday night, after the Zacha break, nice save by Wall, the Leafs had control of that until they got the power play at 6:25 in. Shattenkirk goes off. The power play sucked. They lost all momentum. As soon as it's within a minute after it ends, Geeky goes in and scores, and that really is the game. From that point on, that's all Boston. You look at the standings. Florida and Boston. Florida will not let you do what you're capable of doing. They pull you into their game. Boston Correct. Will not let you do what you're capable of doing. So this is where the Leafs run into the, I guess, the brick wall in the playoff series, that they get eliminated, is they have this certain way of playing. And if you stop it, then you win the series. And to date, you know, except for Tampa in the first round last year, everybody's been able to stop it. I don't see, like, I don't want to be really negative here. I like what the Leafs have done. I think there's still voids in that roster, but I don't see the ability of this team to be able to counter anything that Boston or Florida throws at them. It can happen on occasion, but it's not going to happen 4 times out of 7.
Yeah, that's a legitimate concern. Like, what you're asking for is a B game, right? Like, when the way you want to play doesn't work, right. can you adapt? Can you dump it in? Can you grind along the boards? Can you get it to the net? That type of thing. Can you get some ugly goals in front? Point shots, tips, rebound jams, you know, all those type of things. Well, I didn't see much of that from the Leafs last night. And once, you know, Marner's not given ice to work with, You know, his game really evaporates in a dramatic hurry. It's either like almost Hall of Fame caliber or not capable of playing in the league. I don't know if that's too harsh, but like when his game is not working, there's nothing else there.
Look, go back to the playoff series against Florida last year. And so what would happen? Marner in the neutral zone, somebody steps in front of him, canceled.
Right.
That's it, right?
And it's game over, right? So Nylander, I think he's been better in the playoffs because I think there is a little bit more to his game, you know, than just the requirement for open ice to fly through the neutral zone and to make plays. But again, I didn't see much out of Willie last night. And I quite honestly, I thought that, that Domi Bertuzzi, Nylander line was not very good last night defensively at all. We'll see today at practice if that's still a line, because Sheldon Keefe expressed, even against the Rangers, he had a meeting with them the day prior. And that's why Willie got benched there for the last half of the first period. Cause defensively they weren't getting it done. They weren't doing it against the Bruins either. But yeah, like that's the problem. You know, like, sure, would Matthew Tkachuk and Alex Barkov and Carter Verhaeghe like to fly through the neutral zone? Absolutely. And if you let them, they will. But if you don't let them, they have a different way of playing. And we've seen that out of the Panthers all year long. Boston, same thing. Like, you know, if you're going to give them room through their neutral zone, which that was the real concern for Toronto, they did on Monday. Like, it was way too easy to get into the zone. You know, Boston has a grind game, you know, and they can play along the boards. Guys like Jake DeBrus, Brad Marchand, even Pasternak, Zacha, like Charlie Coyle, these guys are perfectly capable and willing to play a grind game. And we've seen that from the Leafs at times this year, I think more so than we have in the past, but it is frightening when it disappears, how little else there is there. And if they're not willing to play that way, and their A game gets taken away, that's how you end up with a real short series like they did against Florida last year.
Well, look, you know, we're talking about frustration from the star players not scoring, but you mentioned it there, and I want to go back to John Tavares post game after the game Monday night. They were better in front of their net than we were, and so when you're talking about defensive responsibilities, because this is where it all starts. Obviously, we always go to the guys who didn't score, but that Domi Nylander Bertuzzi line and the pairing of Brody and Liljegren, this is a problem. So those two setups are a problem defensively.
Yeah, it didn't work at all. You know, when the head coach benches Willie Nylander, and, you know, I asked him about it. He said, well, like, against the Rangers, I asked him about it. He said, well, we had a meeting the day before, and we went over what I need from them defensively, and that wasn't it. Like, oh, okay. Like, he's not joking, right? Yeah. So, and he's right. Like, once you have the puck, Sheldon Keefe gives his players the latitude to work their magic. When you don't have the puck, and I think he's trying to drill this home, when you don't have the puck, you need to play my way. Otherwise, we don't have a hope in the playoffs or when the games get tough. And in other words, you can't sort of wheel out into the neutral zone and set a stop on the puck at the blue line there. You know, maybe you poke it with the stick. Maybe you don't. Maybe it gets turned over. Maybe you get a breakaway. Like, that's not going to fly. And I credit the coach for holding Willie accountable on that. He responded. He played much better the rest of the game. But again, against Bruins, I thought that line was really poor defensively. We were talking about that in the press box. So again, we'll see how that aligns today at practice. But yeah, like, that just, you can't have that. Like, You can't have passes from the corner out into the slot like we saw last night. Can't have passes from behind the net out into a slot to a guy that, you know, has more space than you or I on the subway at 1 a.m, right? Like, it just it doesn't work. And, you know, you got a guy at the level of Pasternak who can pass the way he does, and you give Zacha that kind of space in the slot, you're asking for trouble. So that there were some elements of concern out of that game. Now, it's one game. Can't get too carried away. They've played really well at a time where their season could have gone in the other direction and in been in deep trouble with Morgan Riley going out, and then Tavares and Marner were out that first game as well. They dug in and they really solidified themselves a spot in the playoffs. And I thought they played in a way as well that was the type of hockey that I've been looking for, asking for, pleading for some time. They had an off night, to be sure. But they also were kind of shut down against Vegas last Tuesday, right? Where same thing, Vegas really good in their own end, big guys on the back end, didn't let the Leafs have the type of space that they like to have to generate offensively. And as a result, they didn't generate much. So now kind of two examples against two quality teams in the span of a week where, you know, if you're Brad Treliving, you're constantly trying to evaluate what you have here and, you know, how good of a chance do we have? These have been two examples where I think the manager would look and say, okay, it's a little bit concerning. And does it affect or not how he operates at the trade deadline?
Well, look, you know, after 23 minutes of conversation, I think we can boil it down to this. They're going to do something at the deadline, but if anybody thinks that this is the savior, that's a mistake. It's all on who's already here, isn't it?
Correct. Correct. I mean, you're never, like, honestly, when was the last time a team brought in a high-profile guy or two at the deadline and then went on to win the cup, and we all look back and say, man, did that guy ever drive the ship? Without him, they wouldn't have had a chance. Like, I yeah. can't think of that team. I really cannot.
It's a long, long time ago, I can tell you that. That's Butch Goring and the Islanders, and that's 40 years ago.
Right? Like, yeah. 100%. Maybe Ray Bourque with the Avalanche, but like...
No, it didn't happen the first year, though.
Didn't happen the first year, happened the next year. Yeah. And it was because Sakic and Forsberg and all those guys were getting it done too. So that's why I say a complimentary, like a Labushkin is a good piece. If you can bring in a depth forward, a depth D, sure, but don't pay too much. Because I know you say, well, you can't waste this Matthews 70 goal season. Well, what are you going to tell Matthews who's on the books for four years from now, when he's sitting around and looking at what he's playing, he's saying, get this team. What the hell is this? Well, yeah, the reason you're playing with this team is because we traded away all the picks and prospects 4 years ago that probably would have been in the lineup by now. So, yeah, you don't want to waste a year. And I don't think you are wasting a year if you don't go all in, so to speak. But you also can't just say, well, this is our last kick at the can, because you got Austin, you've got Willie, you've got Morgan Riley locked up long term. So you're going to have more kicks. You better not empty the cupboard, because they're going to need some guys that are going to be able to play and make impacts, as I like to say, Jim, for basically free over the next 2 or 3 or 4 years. Can't trade those guys away for a guy that'll come in here and will be here today and quite likely gone tomorrow in the offseason.
Dave, thanks very much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Last minute of play in this podcast.
All right, Mike Ross, thank you for that time warning. Lickety split, yes guy, no guy on the way out. You might not like the tone to this. Yes guy, no guy, number one. Leafs go wild at the deadline. No guy. No guy, they do not. I don't think they can. Where's the cap space? Who goes off the roster to make this happen? So that's a no guy. Yes guy, no guy, number two. Stanley Cup or bust? No guy. That's not going to happen here. You don't acquire the Stanley Cup winning players at the deadline. You have the core players. You acquire people that support your core players, and it's the core players that get it done. Yes guy, no guy, number three. A defenseman and a forward do it. No guy, they don't do it. What's already here does it. So these players are brought in. They push what's already here over the top. So I'm going to go with no guy on that. Sorry to be Mr. No Guy here, but that's the way I see it. Thanks for stopping by, and I hope you enjoyed episode 141 of Leafs Guy. Hope you come back next week for episode 142.